It is Sunday, May 27th, and you are listening to the Outsiders Comic Cast. Back with another podcast for you today. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about comics. We're going to talk about Captain America Winter Soldier. How's it been, guys? How you been doing? It's been a couple weeks since we've recorded.
Yeah, it's been alright. Productive enough. I updated the firmware on my phone, which might be like a big deal for people, but I'm not like a super tech or whatever. And I got like that little bricking device, so that's good. Feel quite accomplished. even though I'm just on Jelly Bean, yeah.
Gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, gotta start somewhere, so that's cool.
Yeah, I have a Digicel Alcatel, which is running, 4.0 or something like that. It's not a real phone, but, you know, it makes calls. So. Well, it has a cool Thundercat sap, which I can spin like a sword, and it goes like this. That's the best thing with my phone.
So, right. Well, totally worth it.
Very cool.
Yeah. You actually swing and it does stuff. Yeah. Let's jump into some reviews right away, guys.
So what are we reviewing?
Do this ourselves. As usual, I'm Wade over Force Alien. I'm thinking about dropping the Wade and just going over Force Alien. But it's going to cost.
How much does it cost? Yes, let's do it Wilberforce.
You mean to put Wilberforce first?
No, yeah, to be Wilberforce. Just to be Wilberforce.
I don't think that you'll have to worry.
You'll have to pay?
No, if it's already in your name.
Awesome.
So then when you change your name legally to something that was not.
Okay. Thinking about it.
So he's going to walk around his car and Wilberforce.
Wilberforce.
Cool.
Wilberforce has arrived.
Why are you changing it?
I just like it. I think it has more punch.
Did you always like Wilberforce more than Wade?
It's always been a conversation starter from school. So, you know, I was never embarrassed about it. I tell everybody.
And nobody beat you up over the name?
No, funny enough, no. You would think so, right?
Well, it's Wilberforce, so that's not...
Yeah. William Wilberforce was a slave abolitionist, so I mean, it's a good guy.
And the rest of us are...
Well, I am Gibson. No cool Wilberforce tag in there.
What is your middle name, Gibson?
I've got two, actually. Due to the civilian system, I'm not going to say
Mark Alexander the Great.
Oh, see, that's awesome.
Khalil Luther.
That's
a
cool name, too.
And with a cool like comic book style.
I have two more that are not that cool.
So two more?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay. I know them, right, don't I? I think you would have seen them, didn't I?
Probably.
I can't remember.
But Luther is cool.
Luther's all right. With that.
That's O-R or E-R?
E-R.
So he's the Luther to your Superman?
He's not Luther.
I'm always the opposition to that.
Yeah. Well, that explains YouTube.
Every day.
Totally. Totally.
So you've changed my million to Superman. Alright, well, moving on to some reviews. Today we got some cool books to review. Gibson picked the books today, and he actually picked some cool stuff. I was surprised.
How did that happen?
Yeah. Wow, thanks, dude.
I think he just picked on books that I most hate. Books that you would most hate.
Yeah, because the indie book, the zombie book, I was very surprised.
I'm not surprised. George Romero.
Yeah,
zombies.
He doesn't like horror, so I mean.
Yeah.
Alright.
Comic book reviews.
First book we're going to review, I think we should probably start with Electra number one. Who's reviewing that? That's not what the list said.
It does say that. I have it right here. You're reviewing Elektra. Gibson's reviewing Justice League United. I'm reviewing Empire of the Dead. Otley's reviewing Sinestro number one. And you're reviewing Original Sin.
Well, I have to apologize. I'm totally unprepared to review this book. I didn't get this. I started to get to read it. From what I can gather, though, this is not a book I'm going to be very impressed with based on the art style. It seems very different, which I expected, but I haven't read this book. I'm sorry. Anybody else?
Did you expect it because every Marvel Now book
has its own stuff?
Has its own.
I'll like, take it. Did you read Sinestro?
I did read Sinestro.
Good. I'll take Black Girl.
Sweet.
All right. I want to skip the story and kind of talk about the meta discussion of what's happening here. Marvel is on a really heavy solo book tip. After, as I keep talking about, the success of certain Marvel titles, they're trying to recapture
you can say
that.
It.
Yeah,
okay.
Hawkeye. They're trying to recapture that in pretty much every solo book they can. After a long emphasis, maybe 2 or 3 years on team books, I love it. I love that they're trying that. There's hits and misses so far, but also as a subtext to that, they're isolating and encapsulating books. And so what they've done with this Elektra book is created an assassin world where all of the assassins are interconnected. They know each other. They relate to each other either well or badly. And it places Elektra as one of the premier ones and sets up opposition for her directly. Overall, I liked it. It was good, but not great. It didn't blow me away. And for the record, I should say, I'm not a huge Elektra fan in general. But this was good. I enjoyed reading it. It's espionage-y, kind of like Brubaker's Winter Soldier, but not so heavy with it and more focused on a less morally connected assassin world where it's contracts for everything. She visits a master assassin, a contract maker, a matchmaker. And there's discussion of others in the group and what they're doing and why and their motivations and who they're working for. And this sets up a whole isolated world which isn't really interconnected to the rest of Marvel directly. I mean, it could happen, but it's not really. And I like that. I think that's the way they should go for the solo books. That's what worked for Hawkeye. They set up this whole small mythos for him to operate in with the Russian gangs and the tenants in the building and that kind of stuff, where all of that affects itself, but doesn't really have to deal with the rest of Marvel. Doesn't have to deal with Ultron or all that other stuff, because that's not Hawkeye's level. So I love that very much, what they're doing with it. The overall story, I'm going to give a 3. It was good, but it didn't blow me away. Art was good. Art was great. Khalil and we were just talking about this, that the unique art style they're shooting for the solo books is good. Whether or not I like any individual art style is not so big a deal. I like that they're making a lot of effort to make the solo books distinct from each other and distinct from the overall universe. So, 3 for me.
I really liked this opening book. I think so far almost all of the solo books that Marvel has brought out, almost one each week, have had really strong first issues. You saw that with the Moon Knight title, the Black Widow title, the Miss Marvel title, She-Hulk, and the new Daredevil. This one, again, I think if you are an Elektra fan, it probably falls into your wheelhouse already. If you're not an Elektra fan, as you said, this kind of world that's separate from all of Marvel might drive you away. The big selling point for me is the Mike Dalmundo art. I really liked this art. I liked the first 2 or 3 pages where her blue ribbons turn into blood. I like the interaction with the new character, the matchmaker. I think they present a villain that seemed like a good kind of counterpoint for her. So overall, I thought it was really strong. I gave it a 4. But the story, the opening story, maybe that would be a 3. The art raised up to me for a 4.
It's funny how the story is almost secondary to the event of the book.
The event of the book. But it's a good opening. Maybe it takes stuff a little bit too seriously, though. But that's always my problem with Elektra. I feel like she's a character that takes herself too
seriously. Just going to say, that's fitting in with Elektra.
Yeah, every Elektra series, I felt like that. But overall, for me, it's a 4. I liked it a lot. Guys?
For me, I don't know. You guys are raving about the art. And
yeah, you didn't get that art or you like.
I didn't like the art, honestly. I liked the lack of obvious paneling, which I thought was kind of cool. And the action seemed to move across the page really well. But this kind of washed out, watercolorish type, with this kind of wispy, ethereal art just didn't grab me. And for me, that's not a great thing for a character who I'm not really into at all.
Elektra is a divisive character, isn't she?
Yeah, it's... I mean, when she's not an assassin, like, even in this book, she said she used to be a hero and it didn't make sense. I don't think it makes sense for this character to be a hero. Like, and if she doesn't have...
Hero, full stop.
And if she doesn't have Daredevil as a counterpoint, then you have to establish, like, what is she? And I think, like, the book is establishing her as, well, she's an assassin, she's a lone wolf character, and that's how they kind of set it up.
And that works. An assassin in an assassin's mm-hmm. world, great.
The thing is, though, I think the actual lines of the work, of the artwork, are substantial. It's the coloring that makes it feel soft. When you actually look at the line work, I think it's pretty distinctive. It's just that it looks like it's painted, and the colors aren't very strong. It's very kind of more watercolor feeling.
Yeah.
But I think that's because, like, when you see the Psycholips character, the villain, mm-hmm. all his stuff is done in browns and primitive stuff because he's supposedly in the jungles and stuff, and hers are all done in reds or kind of, you know, lighter colors. But every time she's on the panel, everything's tinged red. When he's on the panel, it's tinged brown and green. So I thought that was kind of to establish that. And there's some cool stuff with the panels breaking, like glass breaking, or him going through the forest, and the panels are made up with the branches.
Mm-hmm.
I think the art's really great. But as Wade said, it's divisive. Either you'll like it or you won't like it.
For me, I'm still going to read the book when I get a chance to obviously get a good feel for it. But based on the art, I may not be hooked on it, but I'll still give the story a shot.
Did you like her as part of Daredevil?
I liked her in Man Without Fear. That's as much as Elektra that I know, to be honest.
For me, Elektra's always been somebody's side piece.
Right, I only know her as defined by Daredevil. By Daredevil in particular.
Okay,
I
well, she's had three series before this.
Somebody really wants her to succeed.
The one most recently I can remember is, it was in the 90s, and Diodajo was on the art. Mm. And that one was okay, but there's another one, I can't remember what it's called now, that looked more at her relationship to her dad and also her training. I thought that was a stronger series, but I can't remember who wrote that one.
Okay.
I'll just look it up. But I feel like in her own series, when she doesn't have... Daredevil, she's actually a stronger character because they don't try and define her but her relationship to him. But again, it's like either you like the assassin or you don't, kind of thing. I think also the way she's dressed sometimes throws people off too, because you're like, well, I can't take somebody that dressed like that seriously.
I don't care if she dresses
but,
like she just one of those characters that's sadly been defined by her relationship. Even in the Thunderbolt series, no. She's in some weird triangle between her, Punisher, and Deadpool.
But I mean, Typhoid Mary started off like that, but
yeah.
She's a powerhouse in Marvel. She's a distinct, recognizable character who's no longer defined by her relationship to Daredevil. Why can't Elektra break out of that connection?
Even in her two attempts at being in films. You know, before
how did
Daredevil,
she get to have films?
Well,
I mean, it's amazing that she got that far. This character... Like, Marvel seems to think this character is much bigger than she actually is to the comic book fandom.
Okay, well, I would argue that Elektra is more recognizable character than Typhoid.
I agree entirely. I agree.
I mean...
But I'm saying Typhoid has made it on her own. She's...
Right.
As a solo character, she's now able to carry a story, while we're arguing that Elektra can't make it, you know, without Daredevil. I'm not saying that's your position. I'm just saying where are we at that
Marvel
point?
Because the Marvel Knights Elektra series ran like 40 issues. That was the one I was trying to remember.
Is 40 issues a big deal these days?
And the Elektra before that ran 20 issues. People bought the issues. I mean, people bought the book. She has some kind of fan following. Yeah, the one that I was thinking of, Volume 2, ran from 2001 to 2004. And Greg Rucka was writing that, and then Quesada picked it up. But I think we're dwelling too long on this. I think either you like it or you don't like it. The art is better to me than the Elektra from 2001 to 2004. Greg Horn was doing those covers, but the inside art was by different artists.
So how do we rate it overall?
You give four it a four. For me.
Three for
me. Marvel continues to have good solo.
I like what they're doing with the solo book, but yeah. this book is at best for me like a two-ish. So.
I need to read it.
Alright, so what's the next book, guys?
Original Sin number 0.
Oh, jeez. Wait. Okay, I'm not quite prepared today, guys, but I did read this book, so let's go. Original Sin 0. This is a prelude to Marvel's next big event.
It'll change everything!
Yes, sir. The event before the next
Except
event.
Except that it's not going to feed into every single book like Infinity War. Yeah, right. So, which, it may just.
Let's not spoil the discussion by mentioning Infinity, shall we? Infinity, Original Sin 0, who is the Watcher? This book pairs together Nova and Watcher, two very distinct characters who have absolutely nothing in common, or so we think. Nova flies to the moon to talk to the Watcher after dealing with this Montezuma thing. This guy, he showed up in Fantastic Four, like in the 60s, I think it was. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I read those books. Kicks the robot's ass, and the Avengers show up and give him a pat on the back. And they mention the Watcher, and Nova has a bird, like, why does the Watcher do what he does? Which apparently nobody in Marvel Universe has thought about before. It's weird. So he goes to ask the Watcher, you know, what are you all about? And the Watcher shows him all these windows in the parallel worlds, and they almost overwhelm Nova. Eventually, he realizes that the Watcher is back in the day, like millions of years ago. They say that they were going to help the rest of the universe by being benevolent and giving technology and whatnot. And they did it with this race, who gave them nuclear power. And the race apparently abused it and destroyed themselves. The Watcher's vow never to interfere again and just watch.
I had to double check if we were reading a Star Trek book or not.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
Basically the prime directory.
But this is
I'm the same reasoning.
But is this new? I'm pretty sure.
No, it isn't. I think this was a recap for new readers.
Right,
the Watchers haven't been focused like that in a long time. We're talking like 70s and 80s. So it's probably due.
Yeah. Okay, so Nova. Sorry, the Watchers looking through all these parallel universes, looking for one instance where what the Watchers did come out and bite him in the ass. Up to now, he still hasn't. It ties in with Nova because Nova's dad is also disappointed in him, and he also wants his dad to be right at some point in time. And that's basically what happens in this book. He gives Watcher a gift of a piece of rock from. What was this? From some
weird. It's from the Avengers and the X-Men defeated the Phoenix.
Right, that's it, right. So the Watcher looks very sad and forlorn, and he actually speaks for once to Nova, letting Nova know his father's alive. And that's what happens in this book.
But, just a quick question. The for once thing is also, to me, not right. He used to speak,
but probably doesn't anymore.
He doesn't.
I must have missed that memo as well.
Well, I haven't read Fantastic Four in a while, but I think it was addressed about all of his meddling.
So that his speaking was becoming meddling. And
yeah,
he said
his
anything.
Gang involved and stuff. I wish I...
There was Jim Chamar is where it's definitely a high point for me.
Yeah,
there, so
when he gets chastised for being so involved.
To me, it felt like a minor cosmic primer. Marvel's gearing up to bring the cosmic universe into the mainstream with the Guardians movie, so this was kind of like a refresher on one part of how the cosmic universe works, and I liked it. It's a new Nova, so we get to kind of sit on his shoulder as a new guy trying to figure all this stuff out, and I like that too, that they gave us his point of view, which is great. I really like the way Sam's developing his character.
I really wasn't.
So I like the way they're building them up. Overall, I'm going to give it a higher rating than I think I should, but there's a reason for that. I'm going to give it a 4. I think that's because they really tried very hard to emotionally connect you to a character. Yeah, a character that's tends to be separate and isolated and you know not connected to. Most of the promotion for Original Sin makes it obvious why they're trying to connect us to it. We know exactly why. But I like the way they did it. I like the the characters they used to do it. So yeah, it's a 4 for me, partly on the strength of the broad picture, not just the book itself, but on the broad picture of what Original Sin's trying to set up.
Yeah, basically because that, like I said, I had event fatigue, but for some reason, I'm cautiously optimistic about Original Sin. It seems smaller, and I think my whole issue with Infinity was that it seemed so
fast
and all over the place, and I couldn't be basic thread of it, but this seems to be a little more connected. Maybe it's helped by the fact this prequel was written by Mark Waid, who isn't going to be series writer, right? It's Jason Aaron. Alright, so I don't know, but we'll see. So far, Waid needs to do a crossover though. A hell of a one.
Well, Jason Aaron did Avengers vs. X-Men along with Bendis. This is not
that well. That turn
this
exactly.
Is not bode well.
Yeah,
but I like this story too. Sam Alexander is a fun character because he's a teenager. He can be more effusive and exuberant than some of the other characters. It doesn't seem strange. He's also a newer character, so it makes sense for him to ask questions and for him to be our proxy within the story, for him to ask questions we want to ask and for him to experience the things we want to experience. And overall, even though I'm not reading the Nova series, it made me want to read the Nova series.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty decent.
It also made me... Is he basically like the Blue Beetle for Marvel?
That is a good person.
I like the Blue Beetle series, so I'll pick that up. And then it also did make me wonder about why the Watcher would then be killed after seeing this. Quick look on the internet for why it said that recently... He had, when the Dreaming Celestial awoke in the Eternal series, it was noted that Iyatu has broken the non-interference pact 400 times. And so he was told by the, later on after Secret Invasion, he's told by the other Watchers that he can't interfere again or he'll be taken from the Earth.
Even by
so he stepped back.
Okay.
And he's taken to looking at parallel universes, which is now picked up here. The parallel universes thing he got from the Timekeepers, permission from Timekeepers to watch all those things. So he only gets involved now in cosmic events, not stuff happening on Earth day to day. Overall, I liked it as well. I think the art was pretty good. The panel where we see all the different realities was cool. I give it a 3.5 because the story was just okay, but it's a good opening. So. I will pick up the first one, although I think the idea of shooting the Watcher seems a little bit weird, but I'm going to watch it.
Well, for me, I can give this book a solid 4. Why? I've been reading the Nova series, and I wasn't so much sold on Nova, Sam Alexander, but over the series, I've gone...
Too happy for you?
I've gone... to like Nova. He's developing well as a character, he's developing well as a hero. Kind of reminds me a bit of...
It's almost the opposite, sorry to interrupt you, it's almost the opposite of the weaker solo titles where they have a strong launch and then fade out.
Mm-hmm.
Nova's book is getting better and better as it goes on.
It is. He kind of reminds me of a really young Kyle Rayner over in DC. Having to take a mantle that is so much bigger than him, pretty much by himself, which is kind of cool. This book, Original Sin Zero, is great because it kind of follows on from the Nova series. In the Nova series, he's been having frequent interactions with the Watcher. Kind of like...
Who's clearly taken a liking to him.
Yeah, kind of like Dennis the Menace, kind of. Like, always over the moon, on this guy, even though he's not getting a response. So that's really good. I like to set up for Original Sin, the crossover event, even though I'm not that enthused by it. It's another Marvel event. And it's headed up with the same guy as Khalil mentioned just now that did Avengers vs. X-Men. So, again, I'm not really sold. But it's a nice story. It does give you some empathy for a character, the Watcher, who's literally built around being distant and kind of standoffish. Good art, that form of the art. And I like the book.
You said 4.
Yep.
I give it... 3.7. Middling between a 3.5 and a 4. I have high hopes for the whole event, so.
Yeah, like I said, 4 for me is kind of looking forward.
I don't want to get too excited tonight this morning. Alright, so what are our next one? What
yes.
Events? We got another Marvel?
Nope, that's our last. Well, Empire of the Dead came out on the
that is Marvel
this week.
Yep.
So we can talk about that.
So I'm reading Empire, reading the review for Empire of the Dead. So this is by George Romero writing, and Alex Maleev is the artist and cover artist for this book.
Is this under imprint, or is it just Marvel?
This is Marvel. It's Marvel. Yeah, Marvel. Joe Quesada, creator.
You don't have a mouse there anymore? It is
Marvel. Dan Buckley, Alex Alonso, editor-in-chief.
Just Marvel?
Just Marvel, yeah.
No Marvel Max or anything?
They do have Marvel Knights still, and this is a non-Marvel Knights title.
Okay.
Someone's calling me. Ah! Sorry. Sorry, I didn't turn off my phone. Okay, so Empire of the Dead is by George Romero, who I guess you guys probably know is the guy who's made everything for the zombie genre. His name is synonymous with zombies.
Romero zombies.
In the recent past, he did create a film called Survival of the Dead, which didn't do so well, but obviously Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, those are his, and everything that follows on from Hickman's Walking Dead to 28 Days Later, all those things, Kirkman's, they're pulling from Romero. So this picks up right after the rest of his Survival of the Dead film. So 5 years after The Dead First Walk, New York City has become a fortress, hence Empire of the Dead. The Empire City is mostly based in Manhattan. And the city is safeguarded by military forces led by Mayor Shandrake, who is secretly, we find out in the first issue, ruling the city with a cabal of vampires.
Yeah, what the hell?
So he's introducing some new things into his own mythos.
What the hell?
And then they're keeping the masses entertained by using zombies as gladiators. So in the first issue, we were introduced to Penny Jones, who is basically sort of the main character of this book. She's a medical scientist who's supposedly working to control the zombies more.
Not interesting. You know who and she is, right? You realize they flash back to the original.
I didn't. Is she the baby?
No, remember like Living Dead, the brother and sister in the beginning, who brother works like in graveyard.
Okay, so they reference it in the book,
yeah,
right? Okay, right. Good.
And the whole house and everything.
And Paul Barnum, he's a zombie wrangler. They're working with a smart zombie named Xavier. Turns out to be so smart that she escapes, and she seems to be able to communicate with the other zombies. Meanwhile, there's another smarter than average zombie, the Hojan, who's leading a group of zombies through the city towards where the humans are, and we also have the fact that the vampires are interested in Penny. So this picks up with all of that, the zombies being led by Xavier through the city. We have the vampires trying to seduce Penny, and we also have Barnum and her trying to figure out what's going on with the vampires. And the issue finishes with John leading the vampires, leading the zombies closer to the humans. Is that how it finishes? Yeah, closer to the humans. There's a lot more interaction in this one than the first couple. We learn a little bit more about the little kid, whose name I do not know, who is traveling with the zombies, who's a human. A little bit more about Mayor Shandrake, and also Penny and Paul continue to grow their relationship. They're not so much love interests as team. They still have not figured out that the mayor is a vampire, which I understand. He almost seduces her very Dracula-like, yet she can't figure it out. So that's basically it. We got vampires, zombies, humans all battling it out. Romero rang pretty. It's the same as all of his stories. You have a group of survivors trying to keep together, and you have the zombies going on. So, I liked it a lot. There's some of that kind of Walking Dead influence, I think, with like the governor using zombies for entertainment. And I don't know if any of you guys have read Abnett's The New Dead Wardians that you did for Vertigo.
No.
Did you read that, Ray?
No.
That book had zombies and humans as the lower classes and the vampires as the upper classes kind of thing.
Barbados.
Huh?
Like Barbados. Sorry.
Okay. And it seems to like pull a lot of some of the stories from that.
This is a nonpartisan podcast. Which will play no one.
Views expressed on Mark Gibson are solely his own.
So yeah, we have Alex Maleev doing the art. He worked.
I thought you were going to mention that.
He worked on Daredevil before, so he's really good at doing gritty New York, and I like the art on this quite a bit. The zombies look terrible. They look like they're rotting. The vampires look shadowy and scary, menacing. The teeth, etc. And then when he draws Jones and Barnes, they always look very kind of separate, human, not within the darkness that's all around them. So, all in all, I like this book very much. The colors are very subdued except for red. Every time there's blood, they make it very red, and everything else is very kind of subdued. And so it's got the schlock that you want to get from a zombie story balanced with very strong storytelling. So I didn't think I would like this, but overall, I'm liking it quite a bit.
Well, for me and Penny, almost opposite of you. I do like the art, I'll say that for now. It works for a zombie apocalyptic type book, the subdued colors and that kind of stuff, and the grittiness, that all well and good, but I am I'm not like some people. I guess it's a good time to shout out Omar Kennedy. I know he's a huge zombie fan. He's figuring out when the world does end, it's gonna be like a zombie apocalypse,
and it'll be soon.
I'm not thinking about zombies at all, so this book didn't do anything for me at all besides art and cool, so let's give this a 2. Just on the art.
I've only gone about issue, like 2 or 3, I haven't read the last issue, but I'm pretty much enjoying it. I am a huge zombie fan as well, I love Romero. Not Romero. But yeah, I like a lot of the twists in the vampires.
There's some guy looking very, very sad that you said that.
Yeah, well, too bad. the vampires being tossed in is a little bit weird, because Romero zombies, from what I recall, at least in the first like Living Dead, were science-based. So that mythological vampires, I am assuming the mythological vampires tossed in the mix seems a little odd, but let's see where it goes.
DNR for me, but I think I'm going to pick it up and give it a read as soon as I can.
Alright, well that's the last Marvel book we've got for review this week. We've got a couple others that are recommendation, but we'll get those in a bit. Moving on to the DC books, one of two.
Sinestro.
Sinestro.
You guys keep tossing me in. Sinestro number one. Sinestro gets, this is an ongoing, right?
Yep, new series.
Sinestro gets is ongoing. I was always a bit torn as to figure out why Sinestro is so popular with fans, but whatever. It's really
you don't like Sinestro as a character?
Not that I don't like Sinestro, it just seems. I don't know.
Do you think Sinestro deserves a book more than, say, Larfleeze?
Definitely.
Also has his own
which
book.
I can't figure out why.
And it's continuing. Like,
yeah,
it's an ongoing book.
Okay,
yeah,
no, I
there's
only
so much to do with a villain, you know.
Larfleeze has a lot of anti-cool going for him. The opposite
dork.
of what you can deal with that it becomes cool. I actually kind of like Larfleeze as a character. So.
Yeah, my only exposure to Larfleeze has been in the Green Lantern animated series. So I was like, this guy has a book.
Yeah, I think the what's mine is mine is mine is mine is mine became so well known that they thought they could run a book off it. And it's still going, so.
My issue here with Sinestro is that it seems that it's impossible to give a villain a book without making him into an anti-hero slash tragic type figure.
Well,
is there a book with a straight up villain? I mean, just evil without having tragic overtones and stuff?
If he's just straight up evil, it's harder, I guess, for the audience to connect.
Right, so
Sinestro is strictly evil.
Right, because he he used to be years ago when he first.
Thanos has had a limited series.
But Thanos is. That's the closest thing, I guess, yeah.
But even that's not often, he has a fan base already. But I guess, like Sinestro.
Anyway,
Magneto.
True.
Arguably.
Magneto, no, he has a tragic backstory, Auschwitz. And
right,
stuff
but when you look at Magneto, like.
Initially?
Right, in the book, he's like evil, insane, sadistic villain who somehow slowly.
Right, but they all seem to migrate into.
I think Sinestro too, arguably, even before John started to kind of become.
Right. They all seem to migrate out. You never get a...
There's a villain. Right. The Joker and...
I think the niche they're trying to fill is a much more violent and do what's necessary hero than the mainstream heroes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, characters like Sinestro and Magneto fill that role.
Yeah, and honestly, I did enjoy it, but let me get into it, and I do enjoy Magneto. I do enjoy those types of books. This book opens with Sinestro. It's written by Cullen Bunn and the art by Dale Eaglesham. Sinestro opens up on this planet. He's like he's some kind of self-imposed exile. He's fighting some kind of centipede type.
Exile, a new way of saying self-pity wallow?
Yeah, self-pity wallow. He's... Every day he's being attacked by centipede tigers. That's what they call them. These four-eyed fine tigers with six or eight legs. And he fights them off. And
centipede tigers.
He fights them off right? By hand.
Tiger beads.
See? They look like...
He fights them off by hand.
We'll post the image in the Facebook
group. Yeah, we will. Say the pea tigers or what do you call them? Tiger beads.
Tiger beads.
Eventually, he's confronted on the planet by Lysa Drak, who's one of his lieutenants within the Sinestro Corps. She tells him that the Corps needs him back. That, what's his name, is running the Corps into the ground. Arkeel is running the Corps into the ground. She convinces him to come back by the knowledge that some of his people. The Corrigans of his fight are still alive and they're being herded and given to these a new anti-emotion core, basically. These guys who don't suspect any emotion and are wiping out people and whatnot. So he decides, alright, you know what, I'm going to rescue my people. He gets a charge from the Lysa Drak, who is apparently has been written, had the book, the Fear book or whatever.
Prowlax
book. Inscribed on her skin, so she can charge.
And her tongue.
And her tongue, right. Yeah. So, that's interesting.
What does that mean? Sorry.
Yeah, she has the Book of Parallax. There is like glowing in letters all over her body, all over her tongue, everything.
Right, but what does it mean?
So I guess she's channeling the
yellow energy. Yeah, she has all the information from it.
Okay.
And she can charge rings. So, they track down this spaceship where these people are carrying the capsules that all have the Kerugans in them. And Sinestro and Lysa kill them all, and they rescue the people and they confront the rest of the Sinestro Corps and Arkeel. Arkeel tells Sinestro that, you know, we don't want you back, you let us down, blah, 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 blah. And Sinestro says, well, you know, last time you tried to take charge of the field, we think you can do it now again. We all need me. And Arkeel lets him know that I'm doing good stuff here, and I'm actually leading. I've already started by taking the Green Lantern prisoner. And he shows Sinestro that he's captured Sorinik, who's Sinestro's daughter. And Sorinik is not pleased to see her dad. So she cuts
him off.
Even though she's chained to a yellow torture device. That indicates the level of disdain she has for Sinestro. All in all, it was a good start for Sinestro. It shows Sinestro as a strong... I always like him as a strong type of character, muscles and whatnot. When he first introduced him, he was a long-headed, pencil neck type of skinny...
He looked like a red leader.
Yeah, basically right. And now he looks like a real badass. The Eaglesham's art. He was on Aquaman, or was that Paul? No. Anyway, his art is pretty good. The book was a good start. I like Sinestro. I didn't like him before. It's weird to see like a villain with a book, but like I said, I always seem to migrate into more of an anti-hero type hero, and instead of a straight up villain. And that's a little odd for me because I would like to see a book with a straight hero, see how they do it. I mean, straight villain, and see how they do it. But this is not going to be.
I guess it could be argued once the Green Lantern Corps became the multiple cores,
mm-hmm.
that you could do a book for each of them easily.
Yeah, but
I mean, the Red Lanterns have their book.
Yeah, Lark but even
has
even
yeah, I was just going to say, even Lark Fees has a book.
Yeah. Even the Red Lanterns now aren't villains.
Right,
so nobody's villain.
No, their storyline right now is two factions of the Red. But what I mean is. They're more complex than just being villains.
Right.
All the cores have.
It's good and bad. Well, except the
except
greens.
The greens
are pretty straight, but I mean.
Well, you could argue that the Guardians are.
But the Guardians now are evil.
Right, but for a while.
But I'd like to see a book with a straight up villain, see how they play that. Like, give the Joker a book.
Well,
a limited run, maybe. I mean, he must have had a. Yeah, but those books tend to have limited runs. How far can a villain book go before you.
Well, I mean, that's a book I haven't read. That's the book where it's the villain as the...
You know, he was like, Superman and Bob.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you just decided just to
go bash it and just
right. do what you want. And that's a villain as a main book.
Yeah, but he... You know, he also had tragic, but yeah, but he was irredeemable. In right. So yeah.
How long did that run?
Like 30-something issues, I think. I didn't realize it was possible. Yeah.
In this day and age, now if you run 30 issues, that's a celebration.
To me, and it did seem like they were treading water, just trying to paddle each story till we get to the end. But it was pretty good.
Side note: did you guys see the all new X-Men number 25?
I think I
did. It's like a big celebration. They have multiple artists.
That's the one with the alternate histories of Beast and somebody was showing the Beast.
It's just like issue 25 and they're celebrating already. That's
just a prank. This book was medium for me. Again, with the meta commentary, I like what they were trying to do, but this is the start of every Rambo Commando movie ever made.
Yeah.
I'm in isolation, somebody calls me back in because I'm needed, blah, 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 blah. It was really tired from the story, yeah.
I guess in Forever Evil 7, when they come up, they'll explain how he expelled Parallax.
That happen at the end of...
No.
It didn't.
Forever Evil 5 or 6, Sinestro turns up on Earth. He sides with Luther and his crew. And he puts a beatdown on the all the universe.
DC,
continuity mess. I was telling Josue the other day about... You've been reading the World's Finest Superman Batman crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that part 4, which is in World's Finest number 21, came out like a month or two before?
Yep.
Superman Batman number 21 came out this week was part 3.
Yep.
What was up with that? I know Jay Lee is notorious. I assume you obviously know that.
Don't ask what's up with that. I gave up on DC like a year ago.
But how are you going to let part 4 of a crossover come out 2 months before part 3? That makes no sense. Anyway, that's just my little rant. Somebody should be in charge of that.
So you're doing a review, Mark.
Oh no, I'm done. Just saying that like I said, I like what they're trying to do, but the way they do it was so flat and typical. There was nothing that brought this book out of the trope of that story. So hopefully, like Nova, it goes somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But this didn't do much for me. I would give this story a 3 on its own, and 2 of that is the art.
Yeah. Well. For me, if this book scores higher than a 3, it's probably just because of the art. For me, this book is another indicator of DC's inability to keep any kind of continuity straight. And this is after restarting the entire universe. The book starts out, Sinestro he has his ring on standby power, pretty much. Mm-hmm. He's fighting Tigerpedes, barehanded, and there's no sign of Parallax. When his last appearance, which was in Forever Evil, either 5 or 6, he's got Parallax. He's pretty much all powerful. He's just running around kicking ass. How's he end up on this lost planet, meditating until death or whatever? Nonsense.
That's the subtype we didn't talk about. He's basically suicidal here. He's fighting off the tigers, but he's talking about how they're learning and adapting, and he's still sitting there just waiting for them to come and you know, eventually, beat him eventually. Yeah.
So I don't know. I was kind of excited when I heard that he was getting his own book, because after Jeff Johns' entire run with the whole Green Lantern universe, Sinestro was an interesting character for me.
Sinestro Corps, Wrath of the First Lantern.
He is one of the most interesting DC characters overall for me, and I don't like DC as a rule. So Sinestro stands out, and it would be good if you could get him. Uh-huh.
I used to love DC.
So yeah, this book for me gets a 2.5, and most of that, the 2 of that is the art.
DC breaks my heart every month. I have so much love for DC and what DC used to be.
You know what? There's a simple, short answer to DC's basic problem. Mm. They're trying to do too much. Mm. Remember what you are and do that.
That's what I said. I said it earlier today.
That's really all it is.
The unrealistic, fantastic type of stories, cosmic stuff.
And embrace it. Don't try to emulate Marvel.
Don't try to be edgy.
I don't even know if they're even trying to emulate Marvel. Because they're...
Marvel 90s?
Yeah, their DC 2014 is Marvel 1997. Like
they're more like Image 1995.
Like every single book, we're gonna recommend Batman Eternal this week.
Yeah, that's what we recommend.
Every single book has like a lot of blood, a lot of death, and a lot of sharp stuff, and everybody's
Liefeld and all kind of people. I mean,
I noticed Batman Eternal didn't have a lot of violence, and I was actually surprised.
But it is very dismal.
It is very dismal, but I feel like almost every DC book has people getting slashed up and like a lot of dark, bloody stuff. But across the board, like every book is like that. And it's like, dude, where is the... This is what I say about comic movies. Like, where's the joy? Where's the
wonder? Where's
the
magic?
Wonder? Like, there's no magic. There's no... It's just like, everything is grim. And good Lord.
It's like a one-eyed marketing person keeps trying to say, well, this works. So Vertigo does well.
But,
Vertigo is dark and gritty.
They,
we can make that work for all of DC.
But they
it's not Vertigo.
DC now has 48 books. Not the 52, because they've canceled a couple. So they have 48 books right now. And Marvel has 53 books right now. And you look at the DC books and they're all the same across the board. Dark, grim, hyper-violent. And you said, very image from the mid-90s.
Left out
and then
one
you
word.
Look at Marvel.
Terrible.
Well, they're not all terrible, but a lot of them are. The majority of them are, not all of them. You look at Marvel's books now, 53 books, and you... I mean,
even your beloved Wonder Woman is grim and bloody.
Well, Wonder Woman is grim and bloody.
Very.
But
is
I do enjoy it very
the,
much.
The first one was feeding somebody's meat was cannibalism. And
but
stuff
from the first issue of Wonder Woman,
yeah,
it's more, there's a lot more horror in that. And it feels a lot more. But I mean, it feels like, to me, like a Greek myth, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But it's, oh my God, so many books. But you look at Marvel's 53 books, and there's all types of stuff.
Yeah.
There's dark books. There's Nova, which is light. There's espionage books with, you know, there's funny books.
This is what I was talking about. That I'm loving that they're compartmentalizing
right.
books into different sections.
Soldier, a bit of March.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel strange to me when Black Widow in Avengers is also in her solo book has a different feel. Because Black Widow by herself is a different character as opposed to when she's interacting with Captain America and other characters.
Like I said today on the forum as well that despite the Fringe books, which seem how different feels, Marvel again, it's kind of feel like a cohesive universe. It kind of feels kinetic, kind of get a community feel. The heroes all know one another and whatnot.
I actually think it's an illusion that feels cohesive,
yeah,
but it's
a
great illusion.
It is an illusion because some of the She-Hulk stuff and some of the Magneto stuff, but they even try and have the books of the characters leave to go into their solo books, like Magneto, for example, or She-Hulk, Fantastic Four. Having some kind of connection.
Right,
so
put
the character
back,
leaves the team and then ends up in their solo book. It's a little bit better plan.
Putting back the facade of that has satisfied a lot of the problems we had that we keep talking about.
Exactly.
That it continues. So I'm happy with the solution.
Yeah.
They've addressed it.
They have the upcoming Star-Lord book that we saw. All new Star-Lord's been announced. And he looks like he's going to leave the Guardians of the Galaxy book. And they're going to have that happen before the Star-Lord book comes out. So that you won't be questioning, oh, why is he in his own solo book?
Like,
there's a connection.
Which even like in the Superman family books, where they don't even seem connected to one another.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
they're
even,
appearing
even
in each other's issues.
Even in DC, if
the
Batman books happened just in Batman's universe, and Superman
it's
books happened, because you could argue that happened before New 52, but those books were connected.
And even
but they're not.
Not.
They're
yeah.
not.
What's going on in Batman and Brennan in Batman and Batman is trying to find the bodies of Talia and Damian at Rachel Gould's store. We got Batman Eternal on the side. Then we got the Batman playing book.
Well, Batman Eternal is not connected.
I know, but yeah. And then we got the playing Batman book, which is about 5 years before with the Riddler and stuff. Which that book.
You mean Batman
Zero? Snyder's book is gone completely to shit, though.
Snyder, like I said, from the
you
start,
were right.
You he's
were
a
right.
one trick pony.
You were right. That book is just bad. It's all.
I think they just gave him too much to do.
That book is all over the place.
Because
you can't follow it. Nothing.
That
is a
Superman
mess.
Chain and stuff. I think he just too much. Because he's heading up Batman Eternal. That first issue was pretty good.
And there was an article I read where he's supposed to be doing the Return of Joker as well. And that was announced at
already.
There's a Comic Con that's happening. Noish, but that was announced.
C2E2.
Yeah, C2E2.
Chicago.
So you know, I don't know. All right, just to continue our rant, I guess. In DC's poor continuity.
We have one more book.
Yeah, we've got one more book. And
let's share some more licks first. Maybe,
No, the licks coming. It is Justice League United number 0. Also known as, or formerly known as, Justice League Canada. And it's got the whole maple leaf thing in the logo.
I got
it's
really basic in the corner.
Alright, this book, it's like they borrowed the season 2 plot from Young Justice, where you've got secret aliens on Earth doing all sorts of weird experiments. That literally was happening in this book. So you've got the team right now is made up of Martian Manhunter, Animal Man, Green Arrow, who no longer has a book, Adam Strange. Adam Strange, Stargirl, and Supergirl, who doesn't have a red ring, a red lantern ring in this book. So yeah, more continuity help. Anyway, so the book starts out where Adam Strange is trying to find his research assistant, quotation marks, Alana, which they do, but she is in the middle of a strange alien abduction scenario going on. And the story jumps back to Toronto, Canada, where this guy, he asks Animal Man and Stargirl, who are at an actual convention for his help. People have died, disappeared, and he wants superhero help starting it out. So, the duo of Stargirl and Animal Man connect with, completely by accident, with Martian Manhunter and his crew, because their two cases are strangely linked. We also get a look at the new hero, Maya Bing. She's a new Kree superhero. You see her transform for the first time, fighting off, again, weird aliens. Toronto seems to be a weird place to live in this book full of aliens.
No, that thing makes total sense.
It does?
Yes.
Okay, I've never been to Toronto. Air is nice, but for all this alien nonsense, I'm not sure anymore. so yeah, basically
there's a reason why every single TV show is shot in Toronto or Vancouver. It looks like a place where aliens or future people would live.
So yeah, the book ends up, Alana is once again captured by aliens, and the book ends up with Slobo, or a new slim, girly looking Lobo character, who is somehow releasing Hawkman, who was trapped with the rest of these aliens and humans who were abducted from all the place. I don't know what to say about the book, really. I don't. No, I don't. It's another book of DC's continuity hell, because in Supergirl's book, she's battling Lobo in that research lab that Superman knows in the middle of the Earth. I'm not sure what happened with Aquaman recently. Not Aquaman, Hawkman. I don't know, it's just a weird book. I want to be excited about it, but it's just another Justice League type book, so I'm not really sure. What do you guys think?
Did this remind you of Justice League International, Wade?
I haven't read it, to be honest.
Matt McCone did Justice League International.
I like Matt McCone, that's why you got it, but I don't want to cancel it yet. The concept doesn't thrill me, it seems like a bunch of C-listers. And there's lots of minority you want to read.
A new terrible logo
on top of it.
Okay.
But, yeah. I'm going to give it a shot.
It's got Stargirl.
I like Stargirl in the context of the JSA, being a young hero. Being
right, but I mean, in this, it could be the same thing for her.
These guys are...
Actually, in this book, she's actually wanting more experience here.
See what I mean?
She's more bubbly than all the others.
Yeah, but she's not like the way the kid that she was in JSA. She's actually no red. Could be considered established hero, you know. But yeah, you've got Stargirl, you've got this new hero, the Kree hero, Maya
Equinox.
Equinox.
Who is ridiculous, but anyway.
You got Martian Manhunter.
You got Warren Worthington. This guy is wearing Angel's old costume.
This
Animal Workman is wearing his new costume.
Yeah, he's wearing Angel's old costume. That's where
I got
it.
I like wearing a costume.
In his book that just finished, so that he could be in this book, he's been wearing that costume for the last 20 issues.
They've tanked a critically acclaimed. I mean, they're really, not really horrible.
It was fantastic.
But it's a critically acclaimed series. They
yes.
end that thing in this.
Yes,
well,
because that really
mark.
Because
having a book doing well is against company strategy.
I think the only body in this team that has a book is Zero.
That's such good concepts on ruining the original Teen Titans. Not the original, but the last one that had that McCone was on. That was Jeff Jones on McCone behind the start. It was so good. What's going on?
I think they're trying to capture some of the 1990s Justice League International feel, because Mike McCone started working for DC doing Justice League International.
No.
And it has that same kind of, even with the idea of the West Coast Avengers feel of this book. And as a first issue, putting this up against Justice League of America, do you think this is a better first issue?
I would say
this
is a better first issue than JLA.
Right.
Than JLA.
Like,
well, you need JLA or Justice League of America?
Justice JLA, New 52, JLA.
Justice League of America.
Okay. Which was this book before Forever Evil.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you think this was a better issue?
I did read that, but I haven't read this yet. And that, for me, wasn't very good, so...
No, this is a better first issue. But it's not a great first issue.
No.
And like I mentioned before, they pretty much recycled the story from season 2 of Young Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Where you bought Hidden
Aliens. I don't know. I feel like Hidden Aliens is like every comic book. I don't know if it's just Justice.
But no, for this story, it is pretty much... The same kind of story as Young Justice.
That's fine.
Alien to Earth, doing weird experimentation.
Who's making these decisions?
Bob Harass, who last ran
Mark
Dan
Didio.
I think it's Stan Lee.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Stan Lee. Stan Lee's like, yes, dude. Remember, Stan Lee's a lot of problem with his.
Okay, so apparently this episode has turned into us just bitching about DC.
Because it's not like one bitch, but it's like they're breaking my heart.
Let's give a rating for this issue.
Ugh. Do we have to? Alright, I'm going to give this 2. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Mark, how much capas do you have on you?
I have a bottle.
No, 0. I couldn't do it at all.
Whoa.
Okay, just as they get a national, first 0 ever from Mark.
Is it?
Company.
Okay.
It's the first 0 you've ever given.
Possible. It's a don't care 0. It's not that I actively hated it.
Who
said I said we needed Justice League Canada? Who said?
Well, Justice League International.
It has a forgive me a belief on these covers.
And it wasn't really called Justice League Canada.
That's not just the Canadians.
Who asked for this?
I mean, I've met Canadians, they're cool people.
I've been to Montreal.
I've met Canadians. You go to Montreal?
I went.
Oh.
Yeah, when I was little.
You haven't been again?
No. My cousin
was
there.
Like, fantastic.
I know, it's real
one
clean
my
and pretty.
Favorite
and, yeah,
cities
yeah,
in the
it's
entire
nice,
world.
Yeah.
Vancouver dwarfs Montreal for cleanliness. I would pick up a burger and eat off the side walking
yeah.
Vancouver.
But it's not as pretty as Montreal.
Fair enough.
Vancouver's nice, though. I want to go there next next year. So. I'm visiting my friend Jana, who's living there now. But I want to go back to Montreal again. It's so pretty. All right, so that's our episode for today. Are we
there?
We have
meeting.
Some recommendations before we go.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a bunch of like number ones that came out in the last couple weeks. Most from Marvel. There's an all new Dupe number one. Did anybody read that book?
No.
I tried to read it, but it's written in like Dupe's non language, so I can't understand why Dupe has its own series on.
Because they're trying everything and waiting to see what sticks.
There's a cipher to so you can figure out what he's saying. But I always think
that
Dupe only worked for me in Ecstatics and that one issue of Wolverine and the X-Men number 15 where he
like
was really
issue.
Fun.
Yeah.
But I don't see why he needs his own miniseries.
I don't see it either.
It's because it's been like a joke with the Deadpool.
I know, he is
everybody
fun.
Everybody
fun.
Right,
he is fun.
They think it's parlay into a series, but
they are literally throwing everything
series.
At the wall and just seeing what sticks.
No,
literally.
I think they know that they're not going to have a long ongoing with Dupe. It's only a 6-part miniseries, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think it's an all new series.
No, it's not ongoing. It's a mini series.
Yeah. Okay. Thank goodness.
It's 6 or 7 issues. It's not ongoing.
Okay, that makes a bit more sense. Okay, we also got another number one of Marvel, Iron Fist, The Living Weapon.
Fantastic
one of the first books.
Art. I did not like it. But great art. The art's amazing.
I'm not a Kieran Andrews fan. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I thought
I'd read his Spider-Man thing back in the year. Remember that one where? Where Mary Jane got radioactive
powers,
cancer, or whatever, from homeschooling her for like it was like when he was returned.
I know
this
story.
It turned out Mary Jane thing
because
of the fluid she was getting
from radioactive semen.
Oh,
yes.
Years, right, actually,
yes.
Right.
Okay. No, but Gary Andrews's art in Iron Fist, Living Weapon number one,
mm-hmm.
I think is fantastic. The actual thing of reading it, I realized Gary Andrews is a great artist. He should not be writing,
but he gets a break all the time
because his Danny Rand was so
his
schlumpy.
Danny Rand belongs in DC.
He was very like
Well, I am the masochist and the narcissist.
Yeah, he's super narcissistic, but yet very rigid down on himself.
Fluid, corrupt and pure.
I was like,
which
what
does not
gel
with previous
this
incarnation Danny Rand.
This, the, like, all the things that you would like this character, you just take it out. But
yeah,
the art's great. So, anyway, we're recommending that book because you should see the art. Every page was great.
Again, from Marvel, another all-new number one. It's all-new Ultimates. I read this book and I actually did
like
it.
Yeah, I
like
to.
It kind of picks up after Cataclysm, where the Ultimates, the original team with like Thor and Captain America, they're no longer in play. So Miles Morales is kind of heading up his own team of Ultimates,
which is very cool.
So you got Miles Morales.
I would like Miles Morales and Kamala Khan to be in a team up book called "Fuck All the Haters." I would love that book. Plus, I think they would be very cool together. Sorry, anyway.
The problem I've always had with Spider-Man and team books is his mode of transportation. How do you move with Spider-Man? If you can't fly, it's going to be awkward.
Well, this
so
is not
I like in principle. Give me one second. I like in principle the Kamala Khan and Spider-Man book, but trying to think her with her giant hands.
Yeah.
But then he gets hamstring into sitting on a Queen Jet, like, saying, oh, that's
yeah,
so weird to
yeah,
sit
yeah.
Okay, so.
But
I'm
no, but
there.
I mean,
I'll be there yet.
This
actual there,
book
there,
I think is so cool because no one would have thought that Miles Morales would have been leading a team a couple years ago when he's introduced. And now it doesn't seem so strange.
Yeah. So yeah, you've got Miles Morales. You've got the Ultimate Universe, Cloak and Dagger. So that deals with the transportation problem. You've also got...
Oh, you say a teleport. That's
yeah,
much easier.
You've also got, who was formerly Peter Parker's female clone, formerly Spider-Woman. She's now calling herself Black Widow. You've got another...
Well, conflicts there.
You've got another hero, Bombshell, who was kind of like a young villainess, but kind of is like working on being reformed. So the team is kind of working on... Oh, you also have... Well, Kitty Pryde. Ultimate Kitty Pryde isn't on the team officially, but she's kind of like there on the wings, kind of. She and Peter Parker's clone, who's
Jessica Drew.
Jessica Drew, yeah, she is. She and Kitty Pryde are kind of like roommates now. So it was a cool book. I liked it. I like seeing this particular team dynamic as well. So yeah, all new Ultimates. Yeah.
My recommendations are, the first one is a book called Translucid, which is by Boom Studios. It's basically Batman and the Joker and their relationship taken to the next level. It basically shows these two guys cannot, just like we all suspect, cannot operate on one another. The main villain, the horse, which is the Navigator's main arch enemy. The
horse. He wears a horse head. He wears a giant horse head on his head. But he's probably a real mastermind. He's been in prison for a long time, and since he's been in prison, Navigator basically can't operate at the full capacity. I need my horse out here giving me trouble. So the horse realizes that, you know, Navigator isn't operating right, he comes back, and he says, well, you gotta save my hero. So it's basically, it goes along that line. It's a pretty interesting story. Pretty good. My second recommendation is James Robinson's Fantastic Four, which is a step up from Fractions, which I was not enjoying, even though I have Mark Bagley on art. James Robinson is basically taking the same old lineup, and I'm gonna tear down everything when they come on board. So we have Johnny Storm losing his powers, and there are a bunch of enemies converging in different directions on the Fantastic Four. So it has a real feeling of doom starting up, but like I said before, no pun intended, but it's a step up from what's going on before Fractions, and I'm enjoying it. They bought new costumes, which is which I don't really like, but you know, it's going pretty good.
I don't have any new recommendations. I've been catching up on old stuff. I've started Manhattan Projects, which Wade recommended, going strong. Absolutely.
Told ya.
I've been reading my greatest comics of all time list. Right now I'm reading Persepolis and not Cairo, which I want to read, but there's another one. Oh, Palestine. Both excellent, excellent books. So yeah, comic history, worth catching up on.
Not of course, the end that you said that. Since based on your constant harassment, I finally started Sandman.
Huzzah!
And I'm enjoying it. It is exactly what I was afraid of, in quotes, when it was little. The demonic stuff and the weird stuff, which I would not have wanted to read when it was little, but you know, you get old and you're raised just a book and you can tolerate certain things and whatnot. And it's, you know, story. So I really enjoyed it. It is gaming as we expected it to be. Strong story. Balanced.
How far in are you?
Shoot, 10 or so. I can't remember. I keep having a break when new comics come out every week, so I can't
remember
consistently. But it's good. It's great. And what I didn't expect was that it actually ties into the main DC universe. I didn't know that was
in several points. That's going to happen throughout the story.
I saw Doctor Destiny and stuff. I was like, what? So yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Hey, wait, did you read Invincible 110?
Yes, I believe I did. Was that when Mark got molested with it?
Yeah.
Mark got raped.
That was
out of left field. I am trying to figure out if Kirkman has a plan or if it's just all shock value, you know, just keep the book going. I have no idea.
I know, when I after reading that issue, I followed up by reading the article, like, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, no, it's not like for shock value. He's actually looking to use that as part of the character for the development. Because he's saying that right now, Mark is at the beginning of Shit Street.
And Mark is always at the beginning of Shit Street.
You know? But yeah, I mean, you've seen a lot of weirdness. When I read the issue, I said that, you know, Kirkman's a hack. He's just doing another Dick Grayson. Because Dick Grayson back in the day, he got rooftop molested.
Not even like that.
When they showcase men getting raped, it's either off panel or shrouded in darkness.
And Dick got raped with drugs. He got drugs and then
he was exhausted.
I think there was some drugs involved with
No. He was just exhausted. He was just.
It was totally tarantula, right? That's
yeah.
Tarantula,
yeah.
There were drugs involved? I read that.
No drugs. Well, that was he was just totally emotionally and physically exhausted and couldn't fight her off. That's. The on-panel rape of Mark is one of the most violent rapes I've seen on a comic book ever. Like, I've never seen that type of on-panel sexual assault.
What was the movie? It's the comic version of Irreversible?
Yeah, it was very
graphic. Invincible, it made its bones of being a graphic book.
The punches are graphic,
This issue was something else, and it kind of like of the whole because following online, there's a whole discussion that popped up, and I think Kurt's coming along the line where what's the woman's name, Anissa, her attitude is typically the male attitude.
Yes,
you know, that real situation is like, you know, stop crying about it, you know, just take it, and it's kind of shocking because when the last thing she said is like, yeah, she's gonna be back, so you know, get ready.
Women get sexually assaulted, they're told more than once. If it's handled, he continues to look at it after this issue, I would be very impressed. Because I think they tend to treat male sexual assaults mostly either as a joke or something that you don't deal with afterwards.
Yeah.
See here Dick Grayson, see here Apollo in The Authority. So... it's interesting. I think it's worth reading. It's a trigger potentially for people listening who may have experienced sexual assault. But it'd be interesting to see what Kirkman does after this.
And for the character Mark Grayson, it was a kind of hard character, a hard issue totally, because he comes back from that parallel world from the escape. He goes back. This girl, Adam E,
who was a total bitch.
Yeah, she was horrible.
Jeez.
You know, it's like 6 months have passed for him.
She wouldn't let him get a word.
And she just shuts him down, you know? That's weird. So yeah, Invincible 110. This is from a couple weeks back. If you haven't read it yet, check it out. And that's it for our reviews and recommendations.
Yeah, so, as usual, I can never remember our locations and stuff, our podcast locations, right? So one of the other guys is going to have to take it. I'm sorry.
I can never remember as I bring it up. We are at Facebook.com/ the comic Outsiders Comic Book Underground. You can find us at outsiderscomicbook@blogspot.com, and you can tweet us at @outsiderscomic. And we are
also available on iTunes.
Yep.
Yes.
You can follow our podcast there as well. We're gonna move on to
as usual. I'm waiting for Salim. I'm sure I'll give him something he wanted.
I'm Warren Gibson. Mark Otley.
Khalil Luther Goodman.
And we're out.